I figured it'd be a wrestling match up here in the front, you know, over this baby. But good to have her in church with us this morning. First time to church. First time. Amen. I love to get them started here, don't y'all? Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see this number come out. We counted up. We know where about 32 of us are, and the rest of them just laid out, I reckon. Amen. But we're here, and I've come to worship and praise the Lord. Good to see this number and this group come this way. I want to share some of the Word of God with you this morning. You know, I got thinking about sitting there just a few minutes ago, and I thought about, well, now Jake filled in for a couple of Sunday school teachers, and other people filled in for some other people, and then we had Greg to fill in for a song leader, and Glenda on the piano, and I got thinking about all the people filling in, you know, and helping out, and I appreciate that. Amen. We could have just thrown our hands up and said we quit, you know. Would that be the way to do it? I don't believe it would either. So I appreciate all the help we've had this morning. Everybody stepped up and took part. And Tommy, I know he just dreads the day that Mark's not going to be here. You better be glad you're not David's assistant. Amen. But anyway, all of them did a good job. And then I got thinking there, sitting there. You know, I'm just actually filling in too. Yeah. The shepherd, Jesus Christ. I'm just under shepherd. I'm just filling in. You know, if you look at it and see it absolute, you know, Christ, he's the head of the church. He's the shepherd. I'm just under shepherd. So I've got a great opportunity this morning to share with you the Word of God. We looked to Scripture this morning. We read New Testament, that we have Old Testament to lead us to the New Testament. It's our schoolmaster, you know, to bring us to a point. So I'm going to start in Old Testament this morning. We're going to move forward to New Testament. We want to talk about God's will in our life and our obedience to what God's called us to do. Now, I'm fully understanding and fully convinced that when we are obedient to what God would have us to do, we can find a peace, we can find a joy, and we can find a happiness like nowhere else. Amen. I mean, the things of the world can't get us content. The money can't take care of it. Fame can't take care of it. But when we become obedient to what God has called us to do, there's a joy, there's a peace, and there's a happiness like it's just indescribable, like nothing else in this world. Because it's not of this world, it's of God. And so, as we look to Old Testament this morning, I want to spend just a little bit of time. Psalm 51, if y'all turn there, just 3 or 4 or 5 verses in this. And I want you to think and understand about David. You know, God called him a man after his own heart. You know, now that'd be something to be listed in a book, the Holy Word of God, as a man after God's own heart. And I thought about what a privilege that was and what a blessing it was to David to be listed and talked about in that way. But I also began to think about the sin David had with Bathsheba. And you can find this in 2 Samuel in chapter 11. I'm not going to go there this morning. But he had sinned. He had brought another man's wife into his existence and his life. And because of that sin, he had found that he was separated from God and the closeness that he once had. You know, he used to be at peace with God. And all of a sudden, there's a problem. All of a sudden, things have different. You know, things have changed between him and Almighty God. Now, David had a desire to get back to where he once stood with God. He liked that closeness. He liked that personal touch with God that he had through prayer. And when he existed with God and he could feel that blessing and that joy and that happiness and that peace because he's in the will of God. And I began thinking about this morning how he must have felt after this sin with Bathsheba. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. I thought about this. I'm glad God didn't write my sin in a book. Y'all ever thought about that? I mean, this sin that David had, it was listed in the book, the Word of God, that everybody can read it. It's not hid. Amen. It's evident. It's there. And so when David found himself in this place of separation between him and God, he wanted to do something to restore that. He wanted the closeness. He wanted the peace. He wanted the happiness and the joy he had experienced before. And so in Psalm 51 in verse 1, It said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. So we begin to understand that in a desire to have a closeness and a peace with God, first of all, he had to do was repent of the sin. Now, there's not a lot of repentance preached in the churches anymore because most people don't want to hear it. But I'm going to tell you, sin takes repentance. And I'm also going to say that if you truly repent, I don't believe you're going to be out doing it again tomorrow. Amen? Because truly, true repentance means sorrow of the heart. That you're sorrow and saddened by what you've done. So David's first step back to God was to confess the sin that he had in his life. Now, here's the point being, if we want to be close to God, knowing God's no respecter of person, if we've got sin in our life, we need repentance also. Now, God will forgive. If we repent, God will forgive. It's that plain. But there's so many times that we want to write it off and say, well, that wasn't a bad sin. I'm just going to live with it. That wasn't too serious. I'm just going to let that one go. I don't believe I need to worry God about repenting of some little bitty sin in my life. The smallest sin in your life just as much as the biggest sin in life. There's no level of sin. It's all sin. And so just as David, because of his unfaithfulness, because of his transgression, he found himself separated from God, and he had a desire to be back where he was. I believe God sent a message to somebody this morning that you need a desire to get back where you once was. Remember the time when you rejoiced in Jesus Christ. Remember the time you come down to the house of God to worship and pray, so excited to get there that you just couldn't wait. That you just showed up early and said, I want to get in the house of God. I want him to restore me to the place we once were. We had a peace. We had a comfort. We had a joy and a happiness. David, through his actions, had brought separation between him and God. David didn't like where he was at. David wanted restored. Now, there's so many times in our life we come content where we're at. Okay, I'm not close with God anymore, but that's okay. Well, yeah, I've got this little transgression sin in my life, and I don't believe there's any need to repent of this because, you know, God knows all about these things, but God calls for repentance. There's no way around it. If you're going to be a child of God, there's times in your life you're going to need repentance. We know we can't live perfect. We know we can't live above sin, but repentance will free us from that sin. David goes a little farther in this. Down in verse 5, he said, behold, I was shaken in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And so a lot of people use this for an excuse, I guess. Well, I was created, you know. This was the way I was born, and so what am I going to do? The new birth takes care of that. Amen. You were born in sin. But when you were born again, it was not in sin. It was in the power of God. So he didn't use that excuse. He began to cry out to God and say, God, I want you to forgive me. I like what he said. He said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Through this power of God, through this demonstration, he couldn't get it out of his mind. He couldn't forget it. I believe there's a hard time forgetting sin today. We know what's wrong. We know what's right. We have the Word of God to lead, guide, and direct us. And so when we're in sin, we know it. I'm not going to have to come down and make an evaluation of your life. I'm not going to, as an under-shepherd, have to come down and say, well, I believe this is wrong. You need to get it right. Because the shepherd, Jesus Christ, is doing that through the Holy Spirit of God right now. David had a desire to restore what he had. Have you lost anything in your spiritual life? Are you as close now as you was ever to the Lord? Do you have the same desire to serve him and worship and praise him as you always did? Well, I've had times in my life I'm so far away from God, saved, but yet so far away from God, I'd had to call long distance. Had to send up smoke signals, you know. There's times, there's ups and downs, but I want you to understand this morning that God is here and present through the Holy Spirit, that you can regain the closeness that you once had. Wouldn't you like to leave out the doors and say, praise God, He's restored me? In verse 10, he began to cry out and he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He knew that the wrong spirit had been in him. And he starts crying out, renew a right spirit within me. Now we read all through scriptures about spirits. Amen. We're a world filled with spirits. And there's a lot of evil spirits. There's a lot of good spirits. I'm talking about David wanting to be the right spirit. And that's the spirit of God. That's where he wanted restored. That's where he wanted renewed. Not the old spirits, not the evil spirits, but the spirit of God. It said, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not away from thy spirit and from thy presence. And so this desire is made evident by what he's praying and what he's calling out to God about, that he wants to be present with God. He wants to be close with God. He had lost something, and he wanted it back. What does it mean to you to have the peace of God in your life? You know, that's the question. What's it worth to have the joy that God gives to his children? That's the question this morning that we need to answer. In verse 12, it said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. I love these words, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I'm going to tell you, salvation brings joy. Salvation should bring joy. I mean, it ought to be a joy in your heart, and your mind, and your soul this morning to know that you have salvation through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. To know you have the promise of God for eternal life. That ought to fill us with the joy that God gives to us. You know, I wonder sometimes, I see so many people that confess Jesus Christ for Savior and say we're saved, but there's no joy. There's no joy. There's no excitement. There's no peace. You know, I wonder about these things. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now, there's joy in salvation. We all want to know how to grow the church. Is there anybody here that don't want to grow the church? You better not raise your hand. Somebody might not want to, but I think there ought to be a desire that we grow the church. The church is made up of baptized believers. And so we ought to have a desire to see people saved. We ought to see have a desire to see people come to the body of Christ, which is the church. And when we think about that, and we're always hunting a new avenue or a new way that we're going to attract people and bring them into the house of God. David hit it pretty well right here. Now I'm going to tell you, David had a good plan. It said in verse 12, restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. So he wanted the joy and he wanted upheld by the free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And I begin to think about the possibility of what David has written, or the Word of God has given us out of this book, about the joy, about upholding us with a free spirit, that we show the joy of salvation to the world, that they might want it also. He said, then shall I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. That's a big thing with me, seeing souls saved. And through that, we need to keep the joy. We let so many little things rob us of joy, don't we? You know, I could go through here and count heads this morning and get robbed of the joy because of the number that's not here. Amen. That's the negative side of this thing, isn't it? On the positive side, we ought to be joyful and praising God for the ones that are. Amen. Now, don't misunderstand. We've got faithful church members that's out on stuff that I'm not knocking them this morning. I mean, they're on family trips and graduation trips, and this is part of life. Don't misunderstand that. But when I read this about, then shall I teach transgressors thy ways. The joy needs restored. The peace and the happiness from God needs restored. And to do that, David had to repent. David had to confess. He said, I want to confess. He said, my sin is ever before me. Whatever out of his mind. Let's go over the New Testament just for a few minutes. We're talking about joy. We're talking about happiness and peace from the Almighty God. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. There are situations that we need to understand. If we're going to obtain this joy, first it's going to take repentance of the sin in our lives. I doubt daily to sin. Lord, I can't remember the day I made it without one. Can y'all? Are y'all better than I am? Sometimes I guess the pastor's worse than one in the church house because I'll stand up and admit it, you know. Oh, I messed up. Hey, I didn't do it physically, but I thought it. I had the thought in my mind about it. You know, and if it's not something about what we did, if you read the book of James, it said to them that know to do good, therefore to them that do it not, is sin. And so a lot of times my sin is from what I don't do. Amen. You know, and so having an understanding of that. So if we're seeking joy, if we're seeking peace and happiness from God, a closeness that, I mean, you can just feel God beside you. You can feel God all around you, wherever you're at and whatever you're doing. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. The thing is that if ye then be risen. Now that's a question to some people here. You got to know if you're risen with Christ. To rise with Christ, you got to die out to sin. Amen. To be risen with Christ, you've got to accept Him as Lord and Savior. You know, not everybody is risen with Christ. So if you're not risen with Christ, the sermon to you this morning would be that you need Jesus Christ for Savior. That then you can be risen with Christ. So it said, if ye then be risen with Christ. So if you're saved by the grace of God, if you're one of God's children, and be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Now here comes a change that we have to go through. You know, before I was saved, I didn't seek God. I wasn't under His leadership or guidance. I was lost and undone. I was in a world of darkness. It was okay if I wanted to just focus all my time and all my energy on things of the earth. Too many Christians are earthbound today. We need our mind above the things on earth. It's not all about what we're going to make next week or what we're going to. It's about what God wants us to do. And when we read this, that He was given to the Colossians, you know, it's very plain. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Things above. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, ye shall also appear with Him in glory. Amen. Now that could bring joy, knowing that when Christ appears, I'm going to appear with Him in glory. And so if we get our mind set on the right things, you know, that's decision time, that we're going to desire and seek things of the earth, or are we going to desire and seek things of God? On the heavenly things, not of the earth. Very plain, isn't it? Over in verse 14, let's back up verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Having a quarrel, having a hardship, having a problem with somebody else, that can rob us of the joy that God intends us to have. That needs repented of also. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God root in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. How many people came to God's house this morning thankful? You know, I wonder a lot of times that, yeah, way back, way down inside of somewhere, there's a thankful, but we're so overcome by all the things that surrounds us, by all the problems that we're looking at, that this thankful's buried. We need to let the thankful come out. I'm thankful to be here this morning. I'm thankful I've got a God that loves us this morning. I'm thankful that we got the Christ that died on the cross of Calvary for our salvation. And so when we think about thankful, and this is a big thing, we need to be thankful. Did you come thankful for all things this morning? Even when it's against your will, if you know it's the will of God? Can you be thankful that Brother Harold's recovering, but he had a hard time? Can you be thankful for Billy Wildman, although he's facing an open heart surgery? But we're thankful. And I thought about the thankful part in some of this. They're going to operate on Billy probably Monday afternoon or Tuesday. And I'm thankful that they found it before he had a heart attack and died. I'd a lot rather be at the hospital with him Monday or Tuesday than doing his funeral. I'm thankful. So we could find thankful in all things. Just don't bury it and cover it so deep that you can't get to it. In verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Verse 23 said, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And so we get the heartily put into it, the effort that we put forth, that we put forward. I believe when David repented of his sin, he did it heartily. I mean, he was all in this thing. He got down before God and said, I want you to forgive me for what I've done. My trespasses are ever before me. I can't get them out of my mind. I can't get them out of my heart. So he came heartily unto the Lord. And so he put an effort into it. Effort means something to God. Effort means something in our spiritual lives. That if we're going to rejoice and have the joy, sometimes it takes a little bit of effort. We're going to have to do it heartily. Amen. Let's look back just a little bit, New Testament. St. Luke chapter 15. St. Luke chapter 15. I'll be closing with these scriptures. It'll be time for you to be thinking about if you are lifted above with Christ. It'll be thinking about, are you rejoicing in the joy and the happiness and the peace of God that you had before in your life? Or do you need restored, as David called out, said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore unto me the joy. I pray this a lot. I pray this a lot. If there's one thing I like to show to a congregation or to a church, it's joy. Okay, that it's joy. That I've got peace. I've got contentment. In St. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And so the question's asked, you got 100 sheep, you've lost one. Does it mean something to you? You've got spiritual joy, you've lost some of it. Does it mean anything to you? This man had 100 sheep. He had a decision to make. He said, well, I think I'm going to be okay with 99. You know, I've just lost one. I've still got 99 fat sheep, so I think I'll go 99% and be content and satisfied. Too many Christians today are going with 99 or less percentage in their joy and their happiness and their peace with God and think, well, I'll just get by without it. It ought to mean something to you. I believe God wants us to have 100%, not lose one. Not lose one. This man said, I got had 100, I've lost one, now I've got 99. So if you put that percentage, 99% sounds pretty good, right? If I could be 99% filled with the joy of God all the time, I guess I might be satisfied with it. God forgive me, but God gives this illustration through this parable that it means something when you lose it. And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. So you see what it brings to have 100%. 99%, he was out seeking, he was out searching. 99%, he's suffering a loss. But when he finds it, then he's back to 100%. And what does it bring? It brings rejoicing. And so have an understanding that having 100% rejoicing and joy with God can bring rejoicing in your life. We need to rejoice in the church. We need to rejoice as children of God because we're 100% people, not 99. That we put enough effort into it and we've repented and come to a place where God can truly bless us. There's countless numbers of blessings people's lost because they didn't claim them or disqualified themselves to receive them. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And so we get the indication about rejoicing in heaven. Now, we talk about rejoicing here. But when you talk about the joy being in heaven, we know it's in heaven, so we can have some of it on earth. Verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? So we have the same illustration, 10 pieces of silver, she loses one piece, she's down to 90%, right? She's down to 90%. Okay, I've got 90% of what I once had. Can I make it with that? You know, she has to ask herself some serious questions right here. Well, can I make it with 90%? Well, can I get by and take care of the needs that I have confronting and coming up to me with 90%? She said, I had 10, 100%. I lost one. I'm down to 90%. Can I get by without it? Can you get by with 90% of the joy? You probably could, but you won't be a strong Christian that God encourages to move forward. You might get by with 90% as far as you're concerned, but God wants us to have 100%. Have you lost a little bit in the transition? Have you lost a little bit through the years and the ages and through the church services, through the little bicker here and squabble there and this problem, that problem? Have you lost just a little bit? It'd be time to forgive all that and forget it. Restore 100%. So this lady made a decision. She was not going to be satisfied with 90% of what God had given her. These 10 pieces of silver were a gift of God. You say, well, don't read that. Well, anything you get, God owns it. If you've got it, God lets you have it. Amen. And so the understanding, this 10 pieces of silver came from God. And so she had to decide, am I content to have 90%? So she made a decision that she wasn't going to try to make it on 90%. She wasn't going to just get by. She was going to have 100% of what God had blessed her with. Now, God blessed us with joy. God blessed us with happiness. God blessed us with excitement, uplifting us through the Spirit. Are we at 90% or are we at 100%? We need to be 100%. Verse 8, it said she began to sweep the house and seek diligent till she found it. So she put forth an effort. I want you to see the effort that she's putting forth. She starts sweeping the house, starts seeking diligently for what she had lost. She knew she had lost something. I don't believe there's a soul sitting here today that if you're not where God once had you and you've lost a little bit, that you don't know that you've lost something. You know, maybe through the years, maybe through the wear and tear of the church, you know, that you've lost a little bit of something. She knew she had a loss. She began to seek. She began to put forth an effort. You know, when she started cleaning the house, I've watched Joan clean sometimes. We don't clean quite the same. I sweep around, she moves it. That's just the way I do it. You can't see it. It don't bother me. Well, I'm not a housekeeper. Didn't claim to be. I'm not a cook either. So I got thinking about when this woman began to sweep the house, I bet she moved some things around. I bet she made some changes. I bet she rolled this out of the way and she began to clean. She moved that out of the way and began to clean. If there's something keeping you from cleaning the house, move it out of the way. If there's something that's robbing you of the 100% joy that God promised you as a child of God, move it out of the way. Repentance, confession, effort, all these things are involved in having what God desires you to have. She's just down to 90%. Sounds pretty good. Well, I got 90%. I'm going to be satisfied with it. She wasn't satisfied. Verse 9, and when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I'd lost. That's good rejoicing when you're restored, isn't it? That you found what you lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I've put a lot of joy in heaven. Y'all thinking, he's a pastor, what's he saying? Yeah. Born a woman, a few days and full of trouble, conceived in sin and iniquity. But I know how to regain the closeness. I know how to get back where God wants me to be. It's called repentance. And according to scriptures, it says there's joy in heaven. I've put a lot of joy in heaven. And that's what it would take for some of us today, that we put a little joy in heaven because we repent. We admit our transgressions, our differences between us and God, and we look to gain that 1% that the man lost, or the 10% that the lady lost, that we want to leave here 100% filled with the happiness, the joy, and the peace that only God gives. Let's have a verse for song. I'll close right there. There comes the piano. Y'all stand to your feet and we'll sing a verse for song. Anybody would like to go back to 100% today? Would anybody like to have all they've ever had? You know, I remember times in my life I was excited about the Lord. I just couldn't keep quiet. I had to tell somebody. You know, I just wanted to let them know what He'd done for me and what He was going to do through the promises. That's the joy that we have and feel. That's what overflows and spills that into our community. And somebody said, I want what He's got. I'd like to have some of what He's got. You know, He's got peace. He's got joy. I'll go sing a verse of a song. Anybody needs to come pray, just come on. Amen. Good to see everybody. Continue to pray for each and every one. Pray for your brothers, your sisters in Christ. Pray for the lost people in your family. Pray for the church. Pray for all those folks we got out visiting this morning, that they have a safe trip back. Let's get a few things set before we leave here. What day, time, and where is the surgery going to be, Lynetta?
It's Thursday.
Okay. Where at?
Erlanger.
Erlanger in the Miller Eye Center. Okay, 5:30 Thursday morning. She's going in for eye surgery. And so, y'all, if you can't make it, pray for her. Billy Wildman, like I said, I've told most everybody here, but he's still in the hospital at Memorial. So anybody wants to give him a call or maybe go by and see him today, that'd be great. I got a message from him to, if we start to send flowers or anything up there, he don't want flowers, says you can't eat them, send him some snacks. He said, I only flower ever ate. I didn't like it. Said, just send me some snacks if you want to do something. And so, of course, he probably can't have that before the surgery. Have to wait till he gets through the surgery before we can do that. So continue to pray for these folks. Saw Brother Harold Friday afternoon. He was in physical therapy. The physical therapist was doing nothing. She was just standing there and letting him do it by himself. She said, I don't have to walk with him. He's steady. He's stable. And he was walking. He made two or three laps around the room. He climbed the ramp. He went across the steps. And everything went pretty well with that. So physically, he is very much improved. He's still grasping for some words, still having some problems with that. I understood most of what he said. Y'all keep praying. We thought Tuesday was the day they have to make the decision. But Brother Harold says Thursday. Do you know?
They've extended for him to stay there through next Saturday if he needs to.
Okay.
He does not want to.
Amen. Well, he told me probably when Thursday. I talked to him, he said probably Thursday I'm going to leave here. I didn't know for sure, but he pretty much knows what's going on. So
but we talked to him yesterday, and we understood pretty much everything he said.
Amen. Keep praying for that need. All right? And that's a good report. And as close as we can tell you on Billy's surgery, it'll either be Monday afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, or Tuesday morning. We don't know that yet. That's kind of up there. We discussed about going down for the Red Book singing. That can still happen. That can still go. I'm afraid to make a commitment right now about going. I can't stand here and say, yes, I'll go, because I don't know what they're going to do with Billy. But anybody that wants to go, it's still available. It's still open. Vans are out here. If y'all want to fill these vans up and go down to Red Book Singing, that's great. If possible, if I'm available, I'd like to go. But I can't make the commitment and tell you exact, because if Billy having a four bypass possibly Tuesday, that might be where I need to be. And, you know, sometimes I just have to make choices and under the leadership of the Lord. So y'all pray about that. But anybody wants to go to Red Book Singing, y'all talk it up. Get around here tonight. Get ready, you know. They'd love to see you. I see a lot of our books. Did y'all notice this? All these are marked. NSB, they're borrowing about 100 of these or whatever we got. Going to take them down and have a singing down there. And we can find out directions and stuff if anybody wants to go. Fireman's dinner is served. I don't know. My mama said that you had to beat the Baptist church. She went to the Methodist church. If her preacher run over, she'd get upset. She'd say, we didn't beat them old Baptists up there to the restaurant today, you know. So we're going to get out of here and somebody go fast, and maybe we'll beat the Methodist, okay, for one time. I don't know. They're probably already over there eating. That don't matter to me. But anyway, fireman's dinner served. This is to support the community and the fire department. If you can, go by. They do have a good lunch. I've ate there the last 3 or 4 or 5 years and enjoyed every one of them. And just go by and help them out if you can. Any word, anything before we go? Gene's sick this morning. Y'all pray for him. Remember all those folks we got recovering. Now, a lot of people in the church don't know Cynthia Daniels is pretty much down for the count. Right, Mark? She's pretty much down. Now, she had some major surgery this week. And so y'all pray for her or whatever else you might do to encourage her, cheer her up, make a phone call, talk to her. They said she won't tell you the truth. I talked to her Friday. She seemed real upbeat and just in the best mood in the world, and everything's going good. And Teresa said she lied to me. I don't know if that's right or not, but she's pretty bad shape, right?
Why am I usually?
I know. Okay. Well, she won't tell it like it is when it comes to her. Anyway, we're just kidding about that. We're just kidding about that, but... if you make a phone call or try to cheer her up some, she's had a major surgery and it's going to take some time to recover. So you might help out in that. All right, is that it? We done. Tony, dismiss us.
I want to stretch out.